It's a joy, it's a privilege as always to have Brother Maynard and Miss Maynard with us. They are part of our missions family. It's a joy to be part of the work that the Lord's doing through them and how they help. And it's always a joy to have them come by our way. And we're not going to be very long on the front end, but just give Brother Maynard plenty of time tonight just to take the Word of God. And listen, don't do like most people, just sit there. Well, you know, that's good for somebody else. I'd like to ask you to do this. Not your wife, not your husband, not your youngest, but for you individually tonight, would you just let the Lord speak to your heart? That's my prayer. That's what I've been praying, that God would help us individually tonight. And if God will help us individually, it'll change our church. It will. And that's what we're just praying the Lord to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. When we get done praying, Brother Maynard's going to come and preach to our hearts. You mind the Lord this evening. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, again for just another day. God, just for the opportunity to be in this place. And God, just the come and be able to sing and enjoy the good word of God. I do ask you once again to help Brother Maynard tonight. God, give him power. God, help him tonight as he stands. Give him clarity. I pray, God, that you'll just preach him like he's never been preached. Lord, I pray, God, as he preaches what saith the Scriptures, God, would you help it tonight to fall on good ground? God, help me, help us tonight, God, Lord, to open our hearts up. Lord, as the psalmist said, examine me, O Lord. God, I pray for our homes. Lord, I pray for our families. I pray for our young folk. God, that you just make a difference, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you accomplished during these days. And Lord, we do give you the glory for it. For us in your precious name, we do pray and ask. Amen. You come on. Well, you're already here, preacher. Come on.
Miss Maynard is going to come to the piano and sing one for us tonight. Pastor, I trust that's all right. And I know you're going to enjoy that. But just while she's coming, I thought I would take just a minute to give you an update of the ministry, since you are gracious enough to have us a part of your missions family. It is really amazing what our God can do. And you better be careful what you pray. We've been blessed of the Lord. We are in our 16th year now of missions evangelism, and the Lord has blessed us to preach in 40 of the 50 states and also 5 foreign countries. Now, I'm praying for an open door in Alaska, and my wife is praying for an open door in Hawaii. Amen. But the Lord is certainly good. He certainly meets every need in the journey, and we certainly do thank Him for that. Some time ago, I was praying over going on a new radio station. The Call from Calvary broadcast at that time was on 4 radio stations, and we were praying for a 5th radio station to go on, and local broadcasting and likewise internet broadcasting. And all of a sudden now, the Clear Blue, a good friend of ours, and Brother Anthony knows Travis Campbell, he called us from Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and he said, Brother Maynard, he said, Macedonia is wanting to start a radio ministry that has the ability of reaching any of our missionaries in the world and doing it through the internet. And I said, wow, praise God, hallelujah, amen. And he said, would you be interested in been praying about going on another station? And again, I said, yes, I am. And I said, Brother Campbell, what will it cost? He said, now, brother, it goes on the internet. It won't cost a dime. I said, I can afford that, praise God, amen. God's just so good in spite of ourselves. He's just so good in spite of ourselves. Well, Sister Maynard, you ready? Now, this is my first and only wife of 40 years. If she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. Amen. And God's been good to us in spite of it all. He certainly has. Sing, sweetheart. Oh, God help us tonight.
Mountains look so high from the valley, and it seems like I've been here for so long. There are days it seems I've been forgotten, but you give the strength to go on. I must confess that I've known disappointments, but somehow I'm still here and you're still God. Lord, leave me there. So on the mountains walk with thee, and in the valleys deep, remind me in the hard times I have promises to keep. 'Cause life is hard for everyone. The battle's fought, some lost and some won. But when all is said and done, find me faithful. 'Cause life is hard for everyone. Some battles fought, some lost and won. But when all is said and done, find me faithful.
Many are more concerned about being successful than being faithful. I say so many times, as Miss Maynard and I especially go out in the western states, and I'm thinking about a dear man in Washington State right now, Brother Tim Wall, that started the Macedonia Baptist Church in Colfax, Washington. He's been there now probably about 8 years, and probably still doesn't have a faithful congregation, maybe about 10 or 15 people. And we would look at a situation like that as a situation that's not very successful. But that dear man knocks on every door in that town at least twice a year. Wow. And he's faithful, he's steadfast, and he's unmovable. Amen. And then I look at myself and I say, one day at the judgment seat of Christ, it's liable to be people like that that have more crowns than we do. Sure. So, honey, thank you for that song tonight. Find me faithful. Oh, God, help us tonight. The book of Ephesians tonight, please, chapter number 5, if you will, please, chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. And in just a moment, we're going to begin reading in verse number 18 and read following verses. I love studying books of the Bible. I'm finding myself doing this more and more, just doing word by word verse studies and just really finding more and more about the context of the Scriptures. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, each chapter has to do with the body of Christ. Chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians is known as the wealth of the body of Christ. Chapter 2 is the workmanship of the body of Christ. Chapter 3 is the worship of the body of Christ. Chapter 4 is the walk of the body of Christ. And chapter number 5 has to do with the workings of the body of Christ. And then in chapter 6 is the warfare of the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ is always dealing with things. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. What's the evidence? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's dealing with the church body. He's dealing with that local assembly, just like the church assembly of the Gospelite Baptist Church of Salisbury, North Carolina, should desire likewise not to be drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the evidence of that is found in verses 19 and verses number 20. When it comes to our worship, when it comes to our work, when it comes to any warfare that we might go through. But then we see here in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting ourselves one to another. The word submitting means to be obedient. It means to be under subjection. And each to another means each other. Each one of us staying in our own proper place, all being done in the fear of God. Now, there's not many people anymore that fear God. I mean, we just see a whole lot, and even we ourselves, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves not walking in the Spirit. We'll be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I'm preaching to every one of us tonight, including the man behind the pulpit tonight. God help us all tonight. Submitting ourselves one to another in what? The fear of God. We respect God. We honor His authority, His awesomeness. And we do so with exceeding alarm and attention. Oh my. Where's our focus tonight? Our focus tonight needs to be upon God. I know these days together have to do with the family. If the family is going to be anything for God, including our own family, we have got to fear and have respect for God. Sometimes if we are not careful, we'll sit back and say, well, what happens in my house happens in my house. That could be true, and it is true. But there is an all-seeing God. And that's the reason we need to confess sin quickly. We need to ask God to help us quickly. When problems are in the marriage, we need to very soon confess and repent of those things that are not pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. I wouldn't advise any married couple to go to bed mad at each other. Right. I've testified before how I got in an argument with my daddy, and that night he had a heart attack and died, and never had the opportunity to say that I'm sorry. And I think about that from time to time, Brother Hildebrand, because I live in that house now and sleep, literally, my wife and I, when we're home, we sleep in that same bedroom, that same place where Daddy took that last breath at. I think about it from time to time. Sometimes I think about selling the place. Too many bad memories of things along the way. But submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, it's amazing after he says that, the first institution that Paul refers to is the institution of marriage. So, husbands, wives, we'll go further tonight, fathers and mothers, daughters and sons and brothers and sisters and grandchildren, granddaughters, grandsons, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh my. Nothing hid from the face of God. Nothing to be hid one from another. Everything needs to be transparent if it's going to be exactly what God desires for us to be. Chapter number 5, verse number 21, submitting yourselves again one to another in the fear of God. So what does he tell us to do from here in regards to the family? Well, notice in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, some men get up and spend the next 45 minutes on the ladies and only 5 minutes on the men, but we're not going to do that tonight. But he does say to submit. The word that is defined here is to obey, to be under subjection. And the word wives is very simply, it's a woman that's married to a man. Boy, that takes care of sodomy, doesn't it? No such thing as men being married to men and women to women. It's enough to gag a maggot. I'm sorry, it's sodomy. I don't care if it is allowed in our country. It's still Sodom and Gomorrah, and what I'm afraid of is America is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I get a witness right there? We can't help, though, what goes on out yonder, but may God help us, amen, to get on our face before God and have the marriages that God desires for us to have. Now please, I'm including 1750 Lewis McClements, row 2. To submit yourselves to your own husbands, verse 22. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, here it is, as unto the Lord. As the bride of Christ. Submit yourselves, again, by definition, for those of you that didn't get done writing, to obey, to subdue, and to be in subjection, to be in one's proper place. A wife is a woman that is married to a man. Why'd you tell us that? Because, again, sodomy's wicked. And it's everywhere. Oh, my. Brother Hildebrand just got back from helping Charlie Russell in the Mount City, Tennessee prison. And after our services, Brother Russell says it's not good for us to go back into the cell units after dark because there's a lot of sodomy that goes on. Even the guards would go and unlock the cell doors and let the inmates go from one cell to another cell committing sodomy in the face of Almighty God. I'm wondering, and I'm going to get in trouble, if America, that is turning into a Sodom and Gomorrah, is going to be destroyed one day like Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's a thing that's infesting our country. It's infesting our families. It's infesting some churches along the way. But ladies and gentlemen, more than anything else, for all of us tonight, where do we need to be? Submitting yourselves in the fear of God. Please, ladies and gentlemen, all I refer to is myself. If I'm not right with God, then I won't be the husband that God desires for me to be. Same with the wives. Same with the sons and the daughters and even the grandchildren. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A reverence of God. A highest estimation of God. We're coming before God in fear saying, God, I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a papaw. I don't know how to be a wife or a mother or a grandma. I don't know how to be a brother or a sister or a nephew or a niece or a cousin in the family unit. I don't know how, but I'm willing to get on my face before you and submit myself to you. And once we do, God will continue to begin and continue to help us. It'd be easy to stand here tonight and cock an attitude, but I'm telling you tonight, this old boy right here from time to time needs help. And I'm not blaming my wife for that. And by the way, let me say this tonight. A lot of times marital issues are never solved and problems within the family because we're not willing to take a good look at ourselves. Lord help me now. Like the old country boy, help me too, amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What type of order does the Bible give us? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. The head of the wife. He's the one that takes hold of the situation. And he literally does it with his ears and his eyes and his mind. And is thinking him with every part of him. And he desires to lead his family like Christ leads the church. Now, let me stop a little while on this. If you're here tonight in the service and you're saved by the grace of God, you're a part of the bride of Christ. Isn't that a blessing? And I've been saved since 1977, or 75, got married in 77. I've been saved since 1975. And my worst days as a Christian has been when I tried to be the head and not let Him be the head. When I've tried to do things the way I want it done instead of the way that the Lord wants it done and let Him be the head and let me be the hope of things and let the head control me, when that happens, then He can be the head of a life and be a head of a home, and He can be the head of the church. When problems come to the Maynard house, it's usually that five-letter word, P-R-I-D-E. Boy, did all y'all go out and smoke a cigarette or something? I ain't here. It's usually ourselves getting in the way. It's a lack of dying to sell. One fellow one time, he got up and he said, "Yeah, bless God, I'm the head of my house." And a fellow said, "Yeah, the wagon wheel that runs the best runs the quietest." You'll get that after a while. You don't have to be making loud noise to be the head. In fact, there's been times I've been ashamed of myself as the head, because I wasn't leading the family right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just giving you my heart tonight. We have got to get honest. We have got to get honest with God. We have got to get honest with ourselves. Brother Hildebrand, Monday night, Mount City, Tennessee, preaching in the chapel up there. An inmate walked out and he said, "Preacher man," he said, "the first day of my life that I found victory is when I finally got honest. I got honest with myself and I got honest with God." It's not always easy to be honest with yourself and honest with others. The reason tonight that Nathan David Maynard, that was in drug addiction for years, the reason tonight that he's been clean off of drugs now for over 4 years. Woo! Maybe y'all don't do nothing for you, but it does something for us. Amen. Getting ready to fly his daughter to Hammond, Indiana to spend some time with him. That's a blessing. Going to take Adeline tomorrow to the Raleigh-Durham airport so she can go up and spend some time with her daddy for a while. And he gets her for the whole summer now. Has surrendered to whatever God wants for her life. Says, "Papa, May, I'm praying about going to Hiles Anderson one day and being my daddy." That makes me want to run all the way down August driving back. Or maybe run down there and call May and let her come pick me up. Amen. But it's all because we put God in His proper place. Amen. And we let Him be Lord of the family. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, as I've already read. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And the thing that grips me is this. Lord, help me to be the type of husband that my wife would desire to be submissive to. Boy, all I hear right now is the air conditioning. You know I'm telling the truth tonight. So many times we are so easily pointing our fingers at the other, instead of, first of all, let's make sure of our own self-inventory. I can assure you, I know, it sometimes will hurt you deeply to be honest. But the only way you can ever have a marriage or have a family that's pleasing in the sight of God is to be honest. Right. To be honest with God. Then to be honest with yourself. And to be honest with your family.
That's where that submission comes in. That's where that proper order will begin to be seen. The husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body, the whole body of the family. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, husbands, love your wives. That word love there, once again, is that agape word. That divine love. That totally committed love. That love that never dies. Even though maybe a spouse will leave this life and go to the city of God. I've told this so many times, and Miss Maynard's heard it so many times. Turner's Creek Baptist Church, J.D. Melton. J.D. Melton fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was a crude man because of his military background, and I'm not making fun. That man went through a lot serving our country. But when his wife was stricken with cancer, he took care of her 24/7. Took care of her every day of the week. And when there was times that he was resting, there was nurses and family in there, he wouldn't leave. Got the phone call that Miss Cleety was not having a good day, and hospice had said she won't live long. So Brother Barker and I both, we took turns. That was during the days that Brother Barker was at Turner's Creek, and we took turns, and I took my turn and was there, and time came, she was gasping for breath. And there he was, standing right there next to the bed. I'd got the call that she wasn't doing well, and when I walked in the door, she had just passed away. And he took that sheet and put it over her face, and he had done so many times in the military, and he stood back and he saluted her. Brita, forgive me for all of her time. I've not been the type of husband you've needed. Because a wife deserves a good husband. Right. A wife deserves a husband that'll go all the way.
Amen.
That never forgets their vows.
Right.
And when things aren't right, are willing to say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me?
Yes.
And at the same time, the one that's been offended, look at him and say, you're forgiven, I love you. Forgive, forget. Put it behind you. We don't bring up Nathan's drug addiction anymore, do we, honey? It's the past. He gets up on Sunday morning down in Chicago and goes down to the Pacific Garden Mission and picks up homeless people, brings them to church. You think I ought to bring up the past? The past is a promise that Sister Maynard sings. Yes, what he went through is helping him to reach other addicts for God now, but it's about face forward march, amen. And so many times, now listen to me tonight, I'm trying to help somebody. You might be here tonight and you've gone through a divorce and a remarriage. You are not a second-rate person.
Right.
Don't let nobody tell you that.
Right.
We can't go backwards. But we sure can go forwards.
Right.
We've got to put the past in the past.
Amen.
We can't let intimidators tell us, well, you've got too many scars and you've done too many things wrong. I don't find that in the Bible.
Right.
God wants to take us just like we are. And He wants to mold us and make us to be more and more into His image. He wants to help us men tonight to be the husbands as He is the husband of the church. He wants to take the wives tonight and take you ladies and make you a bride like the bride of Christ that He desires for the bride of Christ. He wants to take us men as fathers and grandfathers and make us men that are faithful. Men that are examples. Men that our sons and daughters can look up to. And that sometimes takes some true, honest confessions. And saying, I'm sorry. Guilty. I've disciplined my kids before for the right reasons. But I've done it sometimes the wrong way. And that's not good. There's not any more precious institution than the family. And when one family member hurts, every family member hurts. I envy my wife because she had two wonderful grandfathers, Jerome Schoaf and Mr. George Barney. I'm blessed because I had one good grandfather, Mr. Oscar W. Butner, that taught me how to play the trumpet. But I never met my other grandpa because he spent time in prison. And I'm not saying that's, you know, the worst thing because people get help in prison, amen. Thank God for Rock of Ages prison ministry. But he died a drunkard's death on the streets of Winston-Salem. And I've never seen a picture of him, but I have been to a simple gravestone. Well, he's buried in one place and his wife's buried in another place. We have got to get back to God. We have got to quit following society's themes about the family, and we need to get back to this blessed Bible right here, and we need to get serious.
Right.
Now, I'm including Brother Maynard, too. Need to be serious about being a daddy and being a papa and being a wife, and in our case, a may-may. We got to get serious about our family, like when the prodigal son left and the prodigal son come home and there was a self-righteous brother. We can't have that either. I mean, get your Bible out and start reading stories about the family. Go over there to Joshua when Joshua dismissed them to go to the area where God said it would be theirs. And He said in that wonderful verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh my. Okay. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives. That's that agape love. Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Even as Christ. Same in every way. Same in every way. Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself. What a word. As He gave Himself, by definition, we are to yield ourselves, surrender ourselves, totally transmit ourselves. Even as Christ loved the church. Now forgive me for defining a little word here. And gave Himself for it. Little words in the Bible are important too. The word for right there means the cause of. He loved the church and gave Himself what? For a particular cause. There's a purpose behind how He gave Himself for the church. God has a purpose when He brings a man and a woman together. Wow. He has a purpose when He blesses us with sons and daughters. I'll never forget coming home one day, and that's when I was pastoring in Virginia, Bluestone Baptist Church. And if many of you know, some of you don't, our third son, Seth, was a literal miracle of God. That's the reason we named him Seth. I come home one day from visiting, and I sense the glory of God in the house. And I said, "Sweetheart," she said, "the Lord just gave me peace again about the reason God gave us Seth." And I said, "Help me, hon." She said, "The Lord knew we'd be moving away from family. The Lord knew that Clayton and Nathan would be going to Centerville Christian School and I'd be home by myself. I feel like God gave me Seth so I wouldn't have to be alone." Them boys pick at each other, though. They look at him sometimes, Nathan and Clayton, he'll say, "Well, you weren't wanted." And he'll say, "Yeah, but I sure was needed." And you'll have to forgive him. He coaches basketball at Woodland Christian School now. Sometimes I go watch him coach and I'll go hide in the corner. And when I think back how God gave him to us, I start wiping my tears. Just like God gave Himself for the church, God gave husbands and wives for each other. Sister Maynard, I publicly tell you tonight, I can't make it without you. He gave Himself for it. I wonder how far we're willing to go for the sake of our marriage. How far are we willing to go to have the type of marriage that God wants us to have? How far are we willing to go in the context that's not talking right now about raising sons and daughters, but how far are we willing to go for the sake of our children and our grandchildren? If Christ gave Himself for the church, then how much more should we as individual people be willing to give all of ourselves for the sake of our? Don't get too busy with everything else that you leave your family out. I'm not worried about your pastor. But there was a pastor years ago, and without a name, and may knows who I'm talking about. He pastored his church, preached revival meetings all in the area and everything. Had a well-known name. One day his wife left him.
And everybody said, yeah, she left him. And I told them, I said, you better flip the coin. Right. With him be gone all the time and hanging out with preachers all hours of the night and getting home 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and leaving a note, don't bother me. The problem was he left her.
Right.
It could be tonight to just be a good night just to get around this altar tonight and just ask God to bless our marriages.
Amen.
And strengthen us and help us to be honest with God and be honest with ourselves and then go home tonight and you know, Sean Hannity ain't got much to talk about. Just cut him off tonight. I mean, you know. And just talk a while. And let Christ put things back together as He desires to do so. I'm going to read a little more and be done. Verse 28 says, so ought men... No, let's go back to verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Just as much as you nourish and cherish that poodle, how much more should you nourish and cherish your marriage? Or that Dalmatian. Or that kitty cat. Dogs are mentioned in the Bible, cats are not, so I don't know if we ought to have one or not, amen. But the real basis, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. You marry into the family, but you don't marry the family. And shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. We won't take time any further tonight to define words and look at it deeper, but might would be good to go home tonight and read the scriptures again and do the business that God desires to be done. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And